Welcome back. 15 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. And this morning, we have the book club happening in this hour, where we get to talk to authors, local and international as well, and different writers, different genres, and we discuss their ideas and discuss, you know, the reason for writing. What is their purpose? And today, we are taking the fiction genre today, and we would like to welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM Mr. Sam George, chairperson of Piton Noir Writing Collective. And yeah, welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. Good morning. I think we're having a little audio issue. Let's just check out here. Is your mic on, Mr. George? All right, we seem to have. Let's try this again. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, there we go. So welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. Good morning to you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, well, as you said, my name is Sam George. I am from the island of Dominica. Mm-hmm. And I live in the U.S. right now, but I have a few different titles, but we'll focus on the writing for now.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about your other titles, because I'm sure inspiration comes from those as well.
Right. I'm a web developer, a coder, and so the business that I do, we develop plugins for WordPress, we develop software, we manage and host websites, and interestingly, we offer book design services.
Ah, you see, and, there we go.
So, which I know plenty of people have books either in their head or books they've, manuscripts they've written, mm-hmm. they just don't know what else to do with it. So this is where we come in. We help authors publish, get their work published, under their name, and so they collect their royalties at the end of the day. And we are especially interested in working with Caribbean authors, just because it is so much more difficult to get your books published when you are outside of North America,
North American
and
market.
So on. So,
yeah. And the title of your book that we'll be talking about today, am I correct in saying that this is a work of fiction, in the fiction genre?
Definitely, yes.
And the title of the book is The Trust. It's a thriller that takes place in the near future, 2029 to 2030. That's all I'm going to say about it, because I want to get from your perspective, you know, and I find it very interesting that we have this type of futuristic writing, seeing as the world is in the changes that it is happening right now, and it may just be a work of prediction. But tell us a little bit about your book.
Yes, so, you know, the book taking place in the future goes back to what I forgot to mention is Piton Noir. As you said, mm-hmm. I'm the chairperson of Piton Noir. And our focus is on sci-fi, fantasy, and folklore, mm-hmm. Our Caribbean folklore mixed in. And we've been publishing an anthology called The Flying Crapo. It's a tongue-in-cheek way of remembering Dominica's former national dish, the crapo. So back in the day, it used to be
national dish?
Our national dish, right? Mm-hmm. It is the mountain chicken. So you may have known it by that name.
Yeah.
And what happened is a few years ago, it basically almost became extinct. And the government stepped in and basically put an end to hunting. Mm-hmm. And that helped it, you know, helped its population, helped it rebuild its population for starters. Mm-hmm. But they also changed the national dish. So no more crapo for that.
And what is the national dish now?
It's, I believe it's codfish and so on. Fig and codfish or something like that. I don't really remember, but I think that's what they changed it to. But so, because we are so focused on on the sci-fi genre, I think this is where the trust came in, or one of the reasons the trust is written in the future, although some of the things that are happening in here are already happening. So it's not even 2029. And I told your producer it's 2029 to 2030, but it's actually to 2035.
Right.
Because some things are happening after the main story. There are some things happening 5 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, so to get back to your question, you know, what's the a book about? Several things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's about justice, for one thing. It's also about privacy or the lack thereof privacy.
Mm-hmm.
As we knew it, you know, back in the 90s, you could be in your house, or if you have a landline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not worrying about, well, somebody might be eavesdropping on your conversation and that kind of thing. Even if it were, may have been happening, but you're not worrying about it.
Right.
Now with AI and with surveillance, you know, government surveillance and all of that, that is a serious worry for many people. And of course, it also involves autonomous driving vehicles. So it's like I said, there are plenty of things happening, and our protagonist is—he's a genius. He's a really smart guy, you know, really full of himself as well. But his heart is in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
His goal is to help people, you know. He doesn't like large corporations, and so those are the people he fight.
Mm-hmm.
Large businesses. Large corporations who, you know, take advantage of the less fortunate, and so he takes them to court essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we try to make it interesting.
So exactly, and the timing at which the book is coming out, I'm now looking at one of our screens here inside of the studio, and we are seeing from CNC3, U.S. President Donald Trump says he's not happy with Israel and Iran for violating the ceasefire already. And that's developing news as well, which is almost the preamble to what will come after, where you talk about the use of AI and self-driven cars. That is already things that we have become accustomed to a certain extent. Now, the different themes that you're exploring, one theme you said is justice. In what way would you see the future for the protagonist to advocate for persons in the justice sense? Not to give away too much of the book, but, you know, that's one of the themes explored. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, in the book, I would say he has, and one of the reasons why he has such hubris is his talent. He's talented, he's intelligent. He pretty much wins most of the time, we'll put it that way. And in fact, the focus on this story is that this one particular case he takes, and it sort of leads to, it's the biggest and it's also the most dangerous, because this particular opponent is not only motivated, is also vengeful, is also rich beyond measure.
Mm-hmm.
So he and his team fighting for this client takes on a dangerous tone, where he essentially has to go put his family in hiding, or take his family into hiding in order to protect them while he pursues justice. And one of the things that you'll probably find in the prologue is it talks about, while technology has changed, technology has become so, at the tip of your fingertips, you can learn almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
It also says that with all the change we've had in society, justice is still, or true or real justice is still an illusion. you know, the powers that be are still promising us change. They're promising, but nothing has changed. And so, you know, the way society operates now, I don't see that real life society changing anytime soon. So yeah, I'm saying all this to say that even in 2035, we'll still be dealing with the problems of injustice or unfair justice.
Just at different levels, because the intensity would increase, obviously.
Yes, exactly. I mean, if you remember, after 9/11, the U.S. changed its laws and added mass government surveillance of international phone calls on private citizens and so on. So this is also the theme of privacy. This is where this comes in. It's discussing governments around the world basically taking away people's privacy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have no problem giving up their privacy for security. You know, we separate those two things, and I think that can be dangerous. So we have to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Now, the idea that I'm getting so far with the description of the book gives space to entertaining or at least giving a hearing ear to conspiracy theories. And I know that conspiracy theories is a very broad term, but let's look at specifically, as you mentioned, the self-driven cars and the use of AI. That also introduces the conversation about how we are going to put fail-safes and security measures is pertaining to human life and the interaction between artificial intelligence and human life. What are some of the ideas that you would like to bring forward that would encourage that kind of discussion?
Well, certainly. And the parts about the self-driving car and the thing came from some years ago. There was a self-driving car caused a pileup in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember the number, but there was something like 80 cars or 85 cars or something like that involved. So one vehicle caused a massive crash. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the exact number, so I don't want to throw out an incorrect number. But so this is where this comes in. It is to say that while I love technology, mm-hmm. you know, I work in the field, I love computers, everything, but we can't simply give up every bit of control we have to technology. We can't make technology and AI drive everything we want to do or we need to do, because this will only lead to disasters beyond measure. And, you know, worse things are going to happen before it gets to a point where you see in the sci-fi movies cars driving by themselves.
The most recent one that comes to mind is this one with Julia Roberts, Look Up, a Netflix show. And they had the scene of self-driven cars piling up. You just see them, you know, moving off of the lots and blocking the freeways and so on. So it is it is quite possible.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I haven't seen that one you just talked about, but one of my favorite sci-fi movies is I, Robot by Will Smith.
Yes, yeah.
And in that movie, they have fully autonomous cars, and they can also, there's also manual control, but the vehicle would have to give it up, which some of that inspired the trust, or the, at least those parts.
Right.
And at one point, these robots attempted to kill him. I'm not saying this is what's going to happen now or in the near future. I'm not saying Skynet is going to take over. Those of us old enough to remember the Terminator movies. But it's still a warning, you know, to us that sometimes life imitates art, you know. So all of these are still warnings to us that we have to, before we run ahead and just let AI run rampant over everything and control everything, or we have to make sure that we are fully ready, that there's safety. Well, safety has to be the number one priority, as a matter of fact. I don't even think we need to worry about style and any of that other stuff. We need to safety first, not just of passengers or drivers, but other people on the road, pedestrians, whatever the case may be. Because, you know, I mean, we've seen accidents with semi-automatic vehicles on the road, so it's not far-fetched that there's danger there. You know, like anything man-made, it's not perfect. So,
and would have some sort of glitch that comes up after however many uses. When we come back, let's discuss the idea of morality and the conflict between what's the word I'm looking for? There's the human life and then there is the artificial consciousness. Because in iRobot, I'm thinking that iRobot, the robot actually developed a sort of human-like consciousness. So let's explore that when we come back.
Sure.
Welcome back, TNT. We have online Mr. Sam George, all the way from Dominica, talking to us about his book, The Trust. And it's a sci-fi fiction book, and it's a little different from the books that we've been talking about so far. And he gave us a general idea as to how the story goes, but the themes that are explored, one of morality, conflicts, use of AI and self-driven cars, etc. Real kind of dystopian views happening in the year 2029 to 2035. So it's like I said in the beginning, it sounds so ominous and almost like you're predicting, you know, what to expect. And just before the break, I posed the question to you, how does the book explore the human conflict between the artificial intelligence and actually human consciousness and morality? How do you delve into that?
Well, I think how it the book looks at that, the ties between artificial intelligence, human consciousness, and I say justice because that is sort of the main theme of the book. It basically looks at, well, the consequences, right? But the thing is, in the book, it gives humans the problem is not the artificial intelligence, essentially, because I'm trying not to give away too much.
I know.
If I tell you exactly. Yeah. So it's the issues we have with the AI and the self-driven cars and is our own human flaws. Okay, I'll give you an example. One of the characters in the book, which sort of starts off the whole thing, although we don't find out until later what really happened, he caused an accident, but he was driving a semi-autonomous vehicle. However, he had been going through it. You know, he had been working for this one company for a very long time. He's been burnt out and he was drinking and driving, and so he causes an accident, which is, and basically the company he worked for, although they had fired him, but they basically covered up the cause of the accident. So it's, there are a whole bunch of things happening, but again, I says it starts with human error, our own flaws. And I think that's where the morality part comes in. How does this family get justice from this massive multinational corporation who seem, it seems like they have control over the justice system.
Mm-hmm. A kind of David and Goliath scenario.
Yes, pretty much. I think it's kind of worse than David and Goliath. Mm. You know, it's like a child versus an adult in a fight, a physical fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this adult is just out of control and mean, you could crush the child. But so that's essentially what it is. It's a massive fight, and this corporation, they can wipe you off the face of the earth and nothing would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or so they believe.
So they believe.
But it takes, yeah.
So
it takes one brave person or someone brave enough with enough resources to fight them.
Is it an ode to the human spirit as well? Because it's one thing to say, you know, you're going to stand up in this fight, but it's one to endure. What are this?
Oh, yeah.
Some of the themes that you, or messages you would like to send to those who, because I mean, I feel like we're basically preparing for an event where it would be, I wouldn't say, would it be a struggle? But at least, let's use the word struggle between humans and the eventual use of AI and how we change and adapt.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely is a testament to the human spirit, you know, to be willing to put your life on the line for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's definitely important, and that I think comes out well in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that as long as human beings are on earth, we will continue to struggle with things like morality, spirituality,
mm-hmm.
politics. And now we have a new, I don't want to say an adversary, because I happen to be interested in AI. I love working with it,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I believe we will all, that it's kind of adversarial, as useful, but you know, also it's gonna change a lot of, you know, it has already cost a few jobs,
yeah,
while at the same time creating new ones.
Mm-hmm.
So personally, I'm not afraid of it from that perspective, because you know, I think that, like technology, it always, every time technology leaps forward, it will displace certain people.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the medium we are on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, it was the typewriter was the greatest piece of technology invented, especially for writers,
mm-hmm.
right? But here we are on a device that not only can I talk to you
in real time,
the globe,
yes,
in real time, I can be typing.
Mm-hmm.
I can write a story at the same time. Well, not at the same time, obviously, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I use the device for so many different tasks, whereas a typewriter, you couldn't send a fax from a typewriter. You could only type on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So technology always displaces something or someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's just...
The folks who do...
At the end, it just determines what the cost is. And sometimes that cost can be quite heavy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and as I've told people in other discussions, the idea of AI is nothing new. It has been around since the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that now we at a point where it's at the tip of almost anyone's fingers, you know, like just like the computer was, you know, a large wall machine mounted to a wall back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's been shrunk down to your phone, something you can hold in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is where the AI technology is. Don't get me wrong. It's a bit scary for authors, for writers, because I've seen videos where people say, oh, just let AI write your book for you.
But I was now going to talk about ChatGPT and how, you know, as a writer, how do you feel about the idea that someone on the next side of the planet could just write a book, as you say, within 15, 20 minutes, while you, who has learned the process and has done the work where you get an idea, then you develop your characters down to what they would wear and what food they like, understanding the type of language. How you feel about, you know, something like that? And there are many who you know, seem to be profiting off of how this technology is being used.
That, I think it's dangerous for the writing community. In fact, we are the Flying Crapper. We're in the process of working on our fourth book in the anthology. And one of the directives I give to our writers is that please don't use AI to write your story. Mm-hmm. Because that would take away what we are trying to accomplish, which is to preserve the stories we grew up with. You know, write them in new forms, but this is where our inspiration originally came from, our oral traditions. You know, the stories we grew up with, talking about Laja Bless and Sukuya or Dopey Babies and all of these things. So if you allow technology to write for you, it will be devoid of any kind of human emotion, any reality, if you will. Mm-hmm. Not only that, it's kind of boring too, you know, I would think, because writing and publishing, that's the exciting part. But I think researching your work, your book, your story, even if it's a short story, doing the research, writing down your ideas, not like in the first thing you did, crushing it, throw it away, start all over again. That used to be me for years, you know? So I just think the whole process of researching, writing, and finally getting published or publishing, I think those to me are what really make a book. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it. And even seeing the mistakes that you made as a writer, or in the work, that tells me that this was written by a human being. Mm. The computer would just be too perfect.
Yeah. I think as writers and those who read a lot, we could sense when the writer's voice is in a book rather than the artificial intelligence. Now, here's another thing that needs to be discussed as well. Plagiarism. How do writers protect themselves with that? Because, you know, some sayings you would hear, and I'd be like, that wasn't said by that person. So how do we deal with that?
I don't know. It's quite honest. It's a real complex issue. And, well, no, it's not really. I think it's always, everything is always down to an individual. Mm-hmm. It's always down to me, you know. As a writer, I could see someone else's work and decide I like it and I'm going to copy it, or I'm going to do something similar to it. Mm-hmm. I think that goes to my own morality or my own sense of right and wrong, you know. But the way I look at things is, I wouldn't do things to people that I wouldn't want them to do to me. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a good place to start, you know, because why not come up with your own ideas? I mean, ideas are everywhere. I can step outside, look at a tree, and I get ideas from that. Mm-hmm. Life is happening every day around us. As long as we are alive, life is there. And if you truly want to write, you may not know how to begin the process, but there's somebody in your vicinity, there's someone you know who may know how to begin the process. I mean, there, and now with so many online search engines, it's easy to do a simple search and, you know, how do I write a book? Mm-hmm. And you will get more results than I could ever tell you in an entire day. Give you ideas and how to begin the process and then publish and all of that. There's YouTube University is free and open to bring it to the modern age. So I think, I don't know much about the Caribbean, how it deals with plagiarism or if that is even a problem, because, and I don't think it is really a problem, because especially Dominica, we're almost, we're such a small island where almost everyone knows everyone.
If
I stole something from a writer in Dominica or a Dominican writer, I'm pretty sure 10 people before, you know, it hits the news will already know that I did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, the community is so small as well. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so I think it's plagiarism is a much larger issue in larger countries in North America and so on. Although there are tools, they put tools in place to try and prevent it. I know universities, for example, have had their means and ways of detecting plagiarism and and so on. Even when AI wasn't, you know, when you had to write on a pad or on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
So I think universities have always had their methods in detecting it. But there are things that slip by.
No, the thing is that they're getting smarter and smarter. There was a story I read where, you know, universities are trying to figure out what's fail-safe that they can implement, especially with children who, I say children, but individuals who rely heavily on ChatGPT and these other tools that assist in writing papers. I mean, gone are the days when you actually get to the library, use your library card, sit down for hours and refer to several texts, you know, pulling.
Those are our best times at school.
Yeah, those were the better days. But the thing is, in understanding that, yes, you want to be assisted and produce work quickly, the line of losing that human element of consciousness that we talked about a little earlier as you tell the story, there must be something that we can do to preserve that part of being a writer.
I think education is the key. And when I say education, I mean having discussions like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking to up-and-coming writers or talking to children who are interested in writing, letting them understand that if you're going to write, it must come from you. Mm-hmm. You know, it can't be ChatGPT or whatever. It has to be, you know, from your heart. If you want people to take your writing seriously or, you know, and then again, people go into different things for different reasons. So if writing is a passion, and I think this is what it boils down to. If writing is a passion, something you love, because most of the writing I've done, since I was a kid, I've been writing short stories, poems, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them ever got published because this wasn't my reason for writing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pastime. It was something fun to do. It was, you know, it's just something that I love doing. It brought me peace, you know. So if we make people or let people understand that this is what writing has to be, if you love it, this is something you really want to do, you won't cheat.
Mm-hmm. You would find the time.
You won't cheat. You'll find the time and you will find the inspiration.
So let's talk a little bit about inspiration. You talked about the trilogy that Petit Noir, do I have it correct?
Piton Noir.
Right. The anthology, that's what I was looking for. The anthology of the Flying Crapo. Tell us a little bit about that. Is it strictly folklore stories, or are there other genres involved in there as well?
Well, we have three genres. Fantasy, or rather sci-fi, fantasy and folklore. However, they are blended in some of the stories. They are blended into one another, if you will. Or at least that's what we tell our writers. Mm-hmm. You can do one of the three or blend all three of them together. So the first one we published back in 2020, The Flying Crapple. And then I believe it was 2020. We published The Flying Crapple, From Folklore to the Future. And last year, or 2023, we published the third book. And we are currently working on the fourth. So there are a lot of stories about witches and witchcraft. Aliens landing, not just, you know, every alien. There's an old joke that they show a map of the world and they say how aliens see Earth, and all they see is North America. Because every alien story takes place in North America.
Yeah, you have a point. Yep.
So that's
and always Area 51 kind of region, Nevada or Las Vegas.
Right. But so our stories, most of them take place in the Caribbean. So we, from aliens landing in Dominica, you know, to people getting adopted, or to a lab hidden under an old area where farmers once ruled. So it's just, a lot of stories are just fun, you know? And one of the stories is about me. Actually, the first story in the first book is something that happened to me. Basically, where I'm from in Dominica, I'm from Grandfort. And I like to say Grandfort is in a valley, but it's on top also a mountain. So it's right below the lake.
We begin CBS 4 News.
You can actually walk through Grandfort to go to the lake and then get to Roseau. So when I was a kid, my grandfather sent me back there to get him some fresh water because he used to have leeches. And one of the stories is about that, because we used to believe that there was this creature back there that when it's raining and if you go back there by yourself, well, you're gone.
Oh, that sounds more like a Loch Ness monster kind of story.
Yeah, more like, well, it's like a tree. He's built like a tree and he has no head, and if you try to pass, he just clamps you down. Anyway, so these are some of the stories that we focus on.
Now, I know,
keep our traditions.
So these folklore stories are based in Dominica, but I find some of them sound so Trini as well. We have a lot of similar icons. Well, I shouldn't say icons, but similar, because I mean, Larger Blessing really an icon, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah,
yeah. But
let's just say heroes of the underworld.
Yeah, well, and Papa Bois. Do y'all have Papa Bois?
We do. We have Papa Bois. We have Sukuya. We have Dopey, but I think trainees call it Dopey babies. But we have a different
Duens. We call them Duens.
Right. Oh yeah. Okay, well, so we call it Dopey then,
mm-hmm.
or the Jamaicans, I believe, too. But yeah, I mean, all of over the Caribbean, all of these stories basically come from the same well.
Mm-hmm.
We may call them some of them differently, but they really come from the same place, mm-hmm. you know, our African ancestry, for that matter. So, and I'm sure there are other, you know, the other ethnicities in Trinidad have their own stories as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all of this is effort to preserve those stories so that, you know, when AI really take over and we find ChatGPT telling more stories than the writers, we could still differentiate who is who. Yeah?
Exactly. And you know, it has turned into that. Our original, or one of our original reasons for doing this is to remember where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, remember, we didn't really have a writing tradition. Right? Mm-hmm. We had an oral tradition.
Yeah.
Stories passed on from generation to generation. But these things eventually get lost. I can vaguely remember, or barely remember, the stories my father and grandfather used to tell us. The scary ones, especially. I can barely remember those.
Mm-hmm.
But now we are trying to create a new generation of writers. And this is also one of our goals, to have things like writing competitions, but focused on sci-fi and fantasy, folklore, because that is not really done in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
We focus on, we have lots of academic books and so on.
I don't know if it is that we want to give a idea that we always serious, but yeah. And romance novels too. Not too many romance novels come out of the Caribbean.
Exactly. Well. So maybe you will have to write a couple of romance novels.
Well, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm probably having enough stories.
You might have it in here, though. I believe we all have a story in us. I think it's just the courage to step forward, and because I think that's the scariest part of being a writer. When you put something out there, you know, you kind of worry.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know, people gonna like it, are they gonna hate it, are they going to even read it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a scary thing, but I think once you do it once, you don't have to. You know, once the bug bites you, essentially,
yeah,
I think it gets
you get over that initial fear. Well, Mr. George, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about your book. It's almost 10 o'clock. Last minute, is there anywhere that they can get the book to pre-order, or is it on Amazon? Tell us a little bit of how we can find out and to purchase the book as well.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate it. I need to shout out Kevin George for reaching out to me in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin is, you know, he's one of those people who I believe he believes in our work, he believes in writing, he believes in writers, and he's done such a tremendous job highlighting Caribbean authors. And so I want to thank him for reaching out to me. And so, and I obviously want to thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem.
But yeah, certainly. Quickly, we have, you can find the book on Amazon. It's The Trust by Sam Judge, because there is another Sam Judge that always comes up, and it's probably because he's my senior, so he has probably about 85 books.
Okay.
So sometimes he'll come up first, unfortunately. Book was published back in 2024,
mm-hmm.
late 2024. So it's been up there. We have the hardcover version, the paperback, the Kindle, and the audiobook just went live a couple of days ago, late last week. So you can get all four options are available on Amazon.com. You can search for that.
All right. Well, thank you.
And my name.
And when you have your new collection, you can give us a shout and we will definitely talk again. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Have a good day. Enjoy.
All right, TNT, that's Mr. George. Make sure that you take a look, because, I mean, the story's kind of hitting home, very close to home. and it just might prepare us to how to deal with the madness that is coming up around the world.